Blog Talk Radio.
Bye.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, the Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will say a prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come to be overcome.
Hello.
Amen. Lord, today we place everything in your hands, our families, our health, our homes, our security, and our fears. You are the only one we trust with all we have and all that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 from the AMP Bible, and it says, "We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to And for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Amen. In Job 42:1-3 says, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. And the title of this message is, I am taking care of you. Feel the warmth and security of being enveloped in my loving presence. Every detail of your life is under my control. Moreover, everything fits into a pattern for good. To those who love me and are called according to my design and purpose. Because the world is in an abnormal, fallen condition, people tend to think that chance governs the universe. Events may seem to occur randomly, with little or no meaning. People who view the world this way have overlooked one basic fact. The limitations of human understanding. What you know of the world you inhabit is only the tip of the iceberg. Submerged beneath the surface of the visible world are mysterious too vast for you to comprehend. If you could only see how close I am to you and how constantly I work on your behalf, you would never again doubt that I am wonderfully caring for you. This is why you must live by faith, not by sight. Trusting in my mysterious, majestic presence. I hope and pray that this message is a blessing to you. I am taking care of you. Dear God, we want to thank you for all of those things you do that we never see, helping us get through each day safely, making sure our family is protected, and all of the other countless blessings. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. At this time, I will play another selection.
Gangsta Faith. Gangsta Faith means God's absolute noble glorious salvation to all families anywhere, including the heathen. Now that's gangsta. Now that's gangsta. I got the gangsta faith. I went from being a sinner to a backslider, covenant breaking, dickens to money, guns, cushions, dollar copy, fake sensation. On a regular basis, sticky situation, plot led to evil meditation. 14, space incarceration, daddy never on the scene. Only heaven knows why he abandoned his offspring. To my hope, he dealt a death blow. And it seems like the answer to my dreams, only a gangster knows. Now I'm feeling trapped, facing difficult times, trying to cope. As I inhale the cush smoke, I doubt a know. A few can know, I seem to be possessed by evil spirits, plotting bad deeds. We are the deadly target. The devil seek to plant his evil seed. Our Christian faith is the only promise of liberty. So I lose before the Trinity and validate worldwide checkmate. I call it gangster faith. Prepare my tables in the presence of my enemies. Gangster faith. I hold up the bloodstained banner until I'm 6 feet. I got the gangster faith. I'm sick to tell the world who Christ made free is free indeed. I got the gangster faith. God, the Holy Ghost will protect me indeed. A worldwide checkmate. I call it gangster faith. No more violent alpha came, no more street power I came. The west side gangster taught me the game. Get in, get in, get out before you slip in it. And you die in vain, I didn't listen. Multi-gunshot ripped through my flesh and vein. I know mama prayer was whooping, I survived. And I know I spread the gospel truth as long as I'm alive. I'ma walk my talk like a righteous man that's fake do. So let him judge me, no man can see heaven's whole purpose for my life. I know God still love me, for God still love the world. He gave his only begotten son, so to my last breath I'ma teach Christ what the world thought could never be done. Take back the entire music industry and shut down these rap commercial masquerades and reveal these fake. I'm not ashamed to holler worldwide checkmate. Gangster faith, prepare my tables in the presence of my enemies. Gangster faith, I hold up the bloodstained banner until I'm 6 feet. I got the gangster faith, I'm fit to tell the world who Christ make free to free indeed. I got the gangster faith, God the Holy Ghost will protect me indeed. A worldwide checkmate, I call it gangster faith. Before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I got the gangster faith, I'm still to spread the truth. God, the Holy Ghost, when make enemies my foot to it. I got the gangster faith. The definition of gangster faith is Holy Ghost discipleship within the heart. And you stand totally unafraid and with no fear, representing Christ the High. And you know, like I know, real saints don't die. We fall asleep in Christ, then we fly. Raise your hand if you bow to ride. Pull your last breath for the Most High. Cause real saints don't die. We fall asleep in Christ, then we fly. It's called spiritual resurrection. Don't let me take flight. First class of road of pure righteousness. Representing God's glory shining bright. And we ascend beyond the clouds to meet Christ in the sky. And with the presence of the Jesus to watch the Gentile like me. Christ represents and God the Holy Ghost anoint me from my head to my feet. That's why I stand bold like Christ in your presence now. My face is seen Jericho walls falling down. All around the music industry. Christ stretches love for all who defy. Gospel rap, a multi-billion dollar kingdom franchise. I'm sent to possess the gates of the enemy. Call it gangster faith. Cause I believe.
Psalms 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. Dear God, we give all our worries, doubts, fears, and concerns over to you today. Our life is in your hands. We need not worry because you have got everything under control. All will be well. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection, and I do hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music and our prayers. Amen.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it. Y'all raise it with it in a motion.
Be the glory. Heavenly Father, we come before you in gratitude for this new day. We surrender our heart, mind, and spirit to your loving care. Grant us wisdom, discernment, and strength for the challenges ahead. Fill us with your peace that surpasses all understanding. Bless our loved ones. Protect them and draw them closer to you. Use us as a vessel for your love and light, that we may bring joy and hope to those around us. Order our steps according to your will and shower us with your abundant blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God, more than an ordinary servant. I want to be more. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled A Life of Faith. And right now, Lord, we need all the faith that we can get with everything that's going on in the world today. So much killing and dying and innocent people, Lord God. We need you to just touch them right now. Again, the title of this message is A Life of Faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. What does it take to live a life of faith? It's not as difficult as you might think. First, know God and be known by him. Walk in intimate fellowship with him and experience his unconditional love, unwavering presence, and awesome plan daily. Second, commit to obey him. Submit to God without yielding to feelings of doubt or fear, especially when it comes to moving forward on important decisions or facing serious challenges. Third, be confident that God will fulfill every promise. Be willing to trust him even though his timetable may be different from yours. Do not falter in unbelief as time passes. Remember that little faith says God can, and great faith says God will. But perfect faith says God has done it. Perfect faith has said God has done it. And finally, live a lifestyle of faith. Choose what you know would honor Jesus rather than chasing after your personal desires. Are you willing to trust God to see all he will do in your life? It is when you do so that he rewards your faith with great blessings. So set your heart to know God. Obey him. Be confident he will fulfill his promises and live a life that honors him, because he will certainly lead you to life as its very best. Let us pray. Jesus, help us to live a life of faith that honors and glorifies you. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. And again, the title, A Life of Faith. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So in the meantime, I will play another selection.
Until the next level, our God is always in control. No matter what you're going through, he's taking you. Until the next level, you come to part of turn back. So walk in faith and something to learn.
everybody's listening. Don't you understand? When God speaks, there's no resisting. You tried it your way, and you made your bed hard. Besides, your arms are too short to box with God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Better listen to the Spirit, because God may not speak twice. God's chastening those that He loves the most, and He gives us grace, so no man can boast. For He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He's a sovereign God, and His kingdom reigns supreme. When a man puts you down, God's angels pick you up onto the next level. For His mercy is enough.
God, we thank You for the gifts of life and for the challenges that we face each day. We are grateful for the opportunities to grow in strength, courage, and perseverance. May we face these challenges with faith and determination, knowing that You are always with us and that all things are possible through You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Together.
Heavenly Father. Thank you, God. You woke us up again this morning to see another beautiful day. Thank you for seeing us safely through another week. Our families is healthy. Our bills are paid. We have food and shelter, and we are thankful and blessed. We praise you in advance for opening doors for all who need jobs, for healing the sick, and for keeping us and our families covered under the shadows of your wings. We ask all these blessings in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. And at this time, again, I will play another selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Right now, we are going to open up our hearts and let Jesus come in.
Neighbor, because right here in church, someone is hurting. All you have to throw your arms around it and open up your heart and let Jesus come in.
Another Tuesday, Father, we thank you. Please keep our families, friends, and loved ones safe today. Lord, watch over them and let good health, happiness, answered prayers, and many blessings be their portion. If someone is hurting today, Father, may you comfort them with your love, your grace, and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I'll play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker. Praise God.
Letting go of all my fears, saying goodbye to the memory I
no looking back. Again, we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. I always allow a 15-minute grace period for each speaker. So while we're still waiting, I will play another selection. Praise be to God.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible.
Welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Yeah.
God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
I have to tell you that I wasn't on the line because my phone was broken last week.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have the number outside of the phone, and I couldn't get to you, so I just wasn't able to get on.
All right,
it did a funny warning that when you left me at the Apollo, right?
Yeah.
I tried to record. I didn't see you when you left, but anyway, I tried to record BB, and this warning came on the phone with a blue background telling me to turn the volume up if I wanted to continue or turn it down to discontinue and cancel. It wouldn't do anything. I couldn't turn it off. I couldn't volume up. I couldn't volume down. That stayed on basically through the night. And so it came off again on Monday, but on Tuesday it came back on. So I wasn't able to get on Tuesday. I had to buy a new phone. And I saw it even on the new phone, but it didn't last that long. So I don't know what it is, and they couldn't tell me. The technician couldn't tell me what it was. But I hope that, you know, it doesn't happen again. So I don't know.
But right now, so far, everything seemed to be fine.
Yeah, everything is fine. That's why I'm talking to you. Nothing's wrong with you. You wouldn't know anyway. You just wouldn't hear me.
Oh,
I couldn't I couldn't call you if there was something wrong. I couldn't even call you. But is anyone else on the line?
Yes, our deaconess Valerie is with us.
Okay. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, my sister. I had a lovely time with you. I got your messages, and I responded to your text, but I owe you a phone call.
Okay, good. Yeah, we had a wonderful time in Newark on Saturday, Evangelist. Very nice time.
Oh, yes.
They had a couple of ministers there, prophets and such. But we only got to hear one other than Prophetess Karen. It was great. I had a very nice time. Very nice time.
So good.
And
you know what? She's so good, Sister Barbara. She took the message. She didn't just go after Karen Johnson's life. She took the message.
Transition.
Yeah.
The topic of the book, Transitioning at Midnight. And again, she said she hadn't even read the book yet. She just went off on transition. Very nice,
right.
Evangelist. I really enjoyed it. And Val gave out some beautiful bags with some nice contents. You know how she does.
Yes,
she gave out some beautiful bags.
Wow.
And you just got to love her. I mean, she's just as generous as she can be. She's a wonderful person. But anyway.
Amen.
I hope that everyone is well, staying warm, got heat and got food and water and all of that kind of stuff, all right?
Okay. I was 2 days without food because I had to take a test. I just finished eating for the night.
First time tonight, huh?
Well, tonight, but as soon as I got out of the hospital, I had to eat.
Yeah, we fasted all day Saturday unintentionally. Well, I had some tea, but, nothing solid for the whole duration. But Kenny was nice. He took us over there and waited for us and brought us back. And we got lost in the Bronx going, and we got lost in the Bronx coming out of the Bronx. But we made it home all right.
I didn't know going to.
They have built it up so much that the way that I remember coming and going, we used to exit at 108th Street, 138th Street, and take the bridge. That's all built up now. That's all built up. So anyway, we got out of town. We got out of Dodge. Praise God. Got home about 7 o'clock, right? I think we let you off about, what, 5-something, Valerie?
Right.
Something like that. Wow. Yeah. But it was awesome anyway. I'm glad we enjoyed it.
We have to stick together. There's unity and numbers, power in that unity. And this service was not just about a book signing. It was really Holy Ghost filled. Every time I bump, me and Sister Barbara were sitting together. Every time I bumped into her shoulder, I felt the Holy Ghost. It was so Holy Ghost filled.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You didn't know that. You were just quickening, lighting.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
awesome.
Yes. But
that's
it was Holy Ghost.
Awesome.
It was service.
It was service, exactly. It was service.
Right.
So anyway, if all is ready, we're going to go into prayer, and then we'll get into this book for a little bit.
Amen.
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 Precious and Heavenly Fathers, once more and again, a few of your humble servants assemble at this 7 o'clock hour to talk about basic theology. In fact, we're talking about you, Father God. We're learning more about you. So I thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, Lord God, and you know how it is. We thank you for everything you have done, you will do, and we thank you for what you're doing right now. So, God, I want you to bless everyone that's on this line, everyone that's listening, those that are on the conference line, those who are on their computers, those who are even in the archives who will hear it at some future date. Bless them, Father God, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, wherever they're lacking, Lord God, I pray that you will fill that gap, that you will fill that need, because you are the only one who can fill it, Lord God. Send your blessings down on us right now, Lord God, and make a way for us. And you're always making a way for us. So we thank you. We ask you to see about all the situations in this world that are going on, the wars, the rumors of wars, the taking over of land of other countries by other nations that just think they have it like that. God, thank you for putting a stop to that. Thank you for ended the pandemic, and now I just need you to end the COVID-19, Lord God, if it be thy will. Any sickness, any distress, any heartache, any pain, Lord God, I pray that you will make it cease. Bless the homeless. Bless the mentally ill. Bless us all with better mental health, Father God.
Yes,
thank you for
clean
water. Thank you for a roof over our heads and clothes on our backs and warmth when we need it from the heat and the radiators and whatever. And thank you for the coolness when we need that too, sweaters and coats and furs and everything, God. And for our spouses and our husbands and our friends and our girlfriends, God, we thank you for all that you provide for us. And we thank you for giving us a mind stayed on Jesus. God, we couldn't do it without you. We could do nothing without you. You are our hope. You are our sustaining hope. So, Lord, again, I thank you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So just do what you do, Lord God. You know what it is. Thy will be done in all situations. And I can't say it again, but we love you. We adore you. We worship you, Lord God. Giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, because you are the one who is worthy of it all. All these blessings, and forgive us of our sins, all these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son, of our Savior, in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And now we're going to go to our lesson, which was the resurrection and ascension of Christ, and this is in chapter 45, chapter 46, And we're on page 311.
Yes.
And the division after part two, the ascension, we're on part B.
Yes.
Description of the ascension. Okay? So we came from, made statements about the ascension, and we came from the Old Testament, and then we had writings in the New Testament about the ascension. And now we're going to talk about the description of the ascension. And I'm going to ask you, and I think we already talked about it, but what is the ascension of Christ? Evangelist.
When he ascended into heaven.
Mm-hmm. When he went up into heaven.
Okay. Yes, when he went, I have to use the word, when he went up into heaven.
Mm-hmm. And did anyone see him ascend?
His disciples.
Was it the disciples?
Yes. The men that were standing around saw him ascend into heaven. All right? So let's continue with this description of the ascension. Number one, the place. It occurred, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. It occurred in the vicinity of Bethany, Luke 24:50. That is on the Bethany side of the Mount of Olives, as we see in Acts 1:12. And that's where they talk about you're looking at him, but he's going to come back in the same way that he left. So let's take a look at Luke 24:50, Evangelist, please.
Okay.
And then Deaconess Bow, would you get Acts 1:12? Luke first.
Luke 24. Says, then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And now Acts 1:12.
Acts 1:12. Then returned they to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey.
Okay. So they left the mountain called Olivet and returned to Jerusalem. It was a little over half a mile. They went to the upper room they had been using as a meeting place. And then it goes on to name the disciples that were with them. Amen.
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 Okay, part two. The procedure, what does that mean?
The procedure?
Mm-hmm. How was that done? What does the procedure mean?
They prepared?
No. It's how he ascended.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Ascended to the cloud.
The way in which it was done, right? How did he ascend is the answer. Okay, so two, thank you. Christ actually traveled up as if supported by the cloud. We see that in verse 9. The ascent was not a sudden disappearance, but a gradual, though not long, movement upward. So can someone explain that to us? What does that mean? Then we're going to look at Acts 1:9. I think that's what they were saying.
And he's ascended up, and it was kind of slow, until he disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So it was a gradual ascension, but
it wasn't
it wasn't quick. It was gradual.
Right.
And then he disappeared from their sight. Okay? And so let's take a look at Acts 1:9. I think that's what they're referring to. Evangelist? And then Deacon Deaconess Val, verse Acts 11, 1 and 11.
After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. So he was going slowly up into heaven.
Can you imagine that? And let's take a look at 11.
Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which was taken up from you in heaven, into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he's taken up from among you to heaven,
coming
will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left. So,
amen.
You think he's coming back?
Absolutely.
He's coming back. He's coming back the same way.
And you coming back for me.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. And now, thank you for that. Part C, problems raised with regard to the ascension. It was contrary to the laws of nature. What does that mean?
It was contrary to the laws of nature?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
What are you reading, Miss Sister Barbara?
I'm on part three. Oh, I'm sorry, wait a minute. Yeah, I read that. Did I read that, part three? As the disciples watched, two angels appeared and promised. No, I didn't read that. And promised that he who had been taken from them would return again in just the same way. So we read 11 on that. So now we're going to go to C. Sorry about that. I skipped that. So now we're part C. You see that? Problems raised with regard to the ascension. And number one, it says it was contrary to the laws of nature. And I asked, what does that mean? And I think Evangelist was attempting to answer that.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to. It's like the opposite of the laws
of what?
Of nature. I think. I'm not sure.
No.
It's like more than the natural man. It's more than what the natural man can do.
Right.
It's miraculous. It's miraculous. It's powerful. It's an act of God.
Exactly. We didn't see men, or I should say they did not see men, anybody ascending up into the sky and on into heaven. So that was contrary to the laws of, we've seen things come down, but we never saw them rise up. So that was a miraculous, as Deacon Dow said, that was a miraculous act. And it says, yes, it was. But Christ's resurrection body was not necessarily subject to the laws of nature. And Christ, as God, supersede the laws he made. So he could supersede, he made laws, and he could go and break those laws and do things that people would not expect because he is the creator, not was. He is.
Can I
go right ahead?
That's one of my beliefs and practices. That's how we overcame the civil rights movement, but demonstrating civil disobedience. No, is it is it called civil disobedience? No, it's called okay. Well, it's when you go in against what the natural law because you believe in your heart that something is right. It's not going against the grain. is doing something outside of the box, outside of the Lord, like when I was working in a shelter and I had my settlement and a mother and her baby came in the office crying, I need to get to the hospital. The shelter didn't want to give metro cards for the hospital. They just wanted to give metro cards to go to the other facility that dealt with the homeless, the Department of Homelessness. So I gave her $20. I gave $100 bills. But my job said, don't give like that. But then we could donate. But what they really needed was a little helping hand. Sometimes. I had help somebody buy their meat.
God bless you for that.
So I really believe in civil disobedience, and I do practice it. And that's what this puts me in the mind of, this scripture, the lesson. Going against with the natural law, because what God got for us is better than what we could think of.
Exactly.
So we go against the natural law to supersede the natural law because, you know, it's greater. His ways are greater.
Because
his thoughts
are
greater.
And also he could supersede it because he's the one that created the law.
That's
all right? He gave them to Moses, all right? It's his law. So he could do what he wants to do. And that's what he did.
Right.
And he does those things. It's always a good outcome. It's always something positive, all right?
Right.
And so when you say it like the civil disobedience, in a kind of way and in a kind of way not, civil disobedience in that sense was when blacks wanted to, say, eat at lunch counters, and whites did not want to give them the privilege of eating at lunch counters. So there was that negativity there. Anybody can eat at a lunch counter, but if you're black, you can't do it. All right? So that's a little different.
They didn't know that.
That's a little different. That's a little different from them going against the laws of nature. Okay?
Yeah,
a little different. That's
Those laws are so different. Okay.
I can't hear you because I was still talking. What are you saying?
Yeah, the Word of God says, there's Caesar's laws and then there's God's laws. So the Lord of man, those white people really believe that they was right, that they was superior. And they didn't know
they were.
Some were so racist and discriminatory.
Some still think that.
They were superior.
That's what some of them still think. And some of them will say that, you know, oh, no, you're equal, but they don't mean it in their hearts. They really don't. You know?
It wasn't racist, really, to feel it, really. You know? To the majority. They wasn't raised to really believe that, you know.
No, that's a generational situation with them. You know, for many generations, they had it the way that they wanted to have it. And they had us with their knee on our necks. You know, we had to be the slave, the enslaved one, doing what they chose for us to do. And as females, laying down when the master decided he wanted a piece of us. And so for us to breed his children and still not be able to get married to him, because he always had a wife, often had a wife, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm just saying not to get into that, but I'm just saying that's a little bit different with this topic. It's a little different.
But concerning the topic, one of the worst things is that we were written up very poorly in the Constitution. We were written up as half of a person almost.
We were looked at as one fifth of a person. One fifth, not even half. One fifth of a person. So that means it would take five of us to get the rights that one Caucasian had. That's how they looked at us.
5-1
And I was,
to be equal.
And I was,
okay, let's not digress and stay with this topic. So, and very good for you bringing it up. That's not a, you know, not to say that we can't talk about that, but let's try to get this done. So number two, did he ascend to heaven before the public ascension? So did he go to heaven before the public rising? Some think that John 20:17 indicates one or more ascensions before the one detailed in Acts 1. However, the verb I ascend is most likely a futuristic present referring to a futuristic present referring to the coming public ascension of Acts 1 and referring to it with certainty. So the verb I ascend is basically something he was saying was going to happen in the future present, referring to the coming public ascension of Acts 1 and referring to it with certainty. So he knew that was going to happen. Any questions on that?
So when he said, when they said that he ascended, did he ascend to heaven before the public ascension? And that John 20 and 17 states that, indicates that there was one or more ascensions. So then when he was going to ascend, so you saying that I ascended is the future and not the present?
Talking about in the future.
He was talking about the
talking
future.
About in the future he would do that.
Okay.
But let's take a look. Just stop right there. Look at John 20 and 17.
John 20 and 17 says, don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So then when he, so in other words, he's telling Mary not to touch him because he hasn't went up to his, to the Father yet.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if she would have detained him there, and if he didn't go up to the Father, then he could not have sent back the Holy Spirit.
Well, I don't know about that, but he would have. He was saying the thing that they're saying is that he said to the women at that time, don't cling to Mary, I think he was talking to, right?
Mary he was talking to.
No, it looks like he's talking to Mary Magdalene.
You're right.
Mary. So he was trying to hold him. I mean, she loved him, you know, and she didn't want the Savior to leave. So he's
right.
Telling her, no, you can't, don't cling to me now because I go to my Father, I ascend, and that meant, as this book has just said, in the future, a future present, not at this second, but in the future, I am going to ascend to my Father, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're trying to clarify, that he was going to ascend, but at this particular second or moment, he was not ascending at that point.
Right.
Okay.
Does it indicate in John 20:17 one or more ascensions before the one that's detailed in Acts 1?
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know, I guess, you know, when scholars get together on theology, I guess they have to wonder, did he ascend more than once?
What he's saying here is telling Mary Magdalene that I ascend at a future date. Don't touch me now. Don't cling to me now.
because I am, again, about my Father's business. And I will ascend. He didn't say I will ascend. He said I ascend, meaning at some future present, not far from that time of their encounter, that he was going to ascend. So I don't get the thought that he ascended a few times, just that he said it, I ascend. And that may make people think that it meant, okay, he went up and then he came back down and then he went up again.
No.
It's not said. It's just indicated. Is that really not really said, but, you know, we know that he spent time with God alone also on the mountain before.
Yeah. But at that time, I don't think Mary understood about the resurrection yet. Because
I'm just saying that he did ascend again and again, but I'm just saying that it is an indication
one at a time,
and that we don't know everything, but at least some room for you know, the mysteries of God.
But if he ascended more than once, I think somewhere in this Bible we would have read that he ascended.
John,
on such and such a time, and he ascended. 1 minute, I'm talking, and then he ascended again in front of the disciples. It does not say that. What it's saying is what the writer said, is that we were talking about a futuristic present, meaning in the future, this thing that I'm saying I will ascend will be done.
Right.
Okay? So the understanding is that he only ascended one time. But he's going to come back again a second time. And some people say that he's already here.
Right.
I didn't hear you.
But Sister Barbara, there is some scripture in this lesson, John 20:17, where it says
it's supposed to be
indicating one or more ascension.
Yeah, no, but it indicates one or more ascensions. Before the one detailed in Acts 1, however, they're going to explain the verb I ascend, which is used in John 20:17, is most likely a futuristic present referring to the coming present ascension, referring to what he's going to tell us in Acts 1. When he say I ascend, he's not doing it right now, but he's going to do it in Acts 1 where it can be seen in a public way.
But what I'm saying is almost like they're asking a question, because it's indicated in the words is most likely is not certainty.
No, it's not certainty. Nobody was there in this world now that can tell you with the certainty of what transpired. But he's trying to explain what I ascend meant, that it was going to be done at some future in some relatively close present future, but not that he's going to do it in front of Mary Magdalene and then come back again for the disciples. It's never said anything like that.
Okay, so can I read John 20:17?
We just read that. You can read it again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, read it.
All right.
You can read it again. Go ahead.
Okay, I got it now. John 20:17. Jesus said unto her, oh, that's your teaching. Touch not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. But what I'm not certain about is the timing of these events, because Acts 1 and John 20:17, okay, this is when John 20:17 is the ascension that everybody speaks of.
No. John 20:17 is not the ascension that was seen by the disciples. That was not the public ascension.
Right.
Okay, so there was one.
That's what he was telling Mary.
Right.
That he was going to ascend, but he didn't do it at that moment. He, in fact, told her to go and tell the news to the disciples. I saw the master. You got to listen if you want to learn. And she said, Mary went telling the news to the disciples. He told her to go and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. So Mary Magdalene went telling the news to the disciples. I saw the master, and she told them everything he said to her. He didn't leave then. He didn't leave then. He said he was going to, but he didn't leave then. Let's go on. So he said, it is as if the Lord were saying to Mary, stop clinging to me. There is no need for this, as I am not yet at the point of permanent ascension, just what we just spoke about. You will still have the opportunity to see me. However, there is no question but that I certainly will ascend to my Father. So he's trying to comfort her in that he's told her that I ascend, but he said, it won't be a permanent thing. I'm not going yet. This is what he said. It will not be a permanent ascension. You will still be able to see me. There's no question but that I certainly will ascend to my Father, but not right this moment. D.
Okay, I understand.
Is that clear?
And after Mary left him to go and tell the disciples, then the next thing, when they were all behind locked doors, and then after that, that's when Jesus appeared to them. He appeared to
them. And how did he come to the room?
He came in through the wall.
Well, the door.
The door. He came in through the door.
Right.
In his glorified body. Mm-hmm. So the significance, this is part D, significance of the ascension, what does that mean?
The importance of it?
Yeah, the reasoning behind it. What does it mean, like you said? What's the importance of the ascension? Excuse me. The ascension marks the end of the period. I didn't hear you. The ascension marked the end of the period of Christ's humiliation and his entrance into the state of exaltation. Any thoughts about that?
Yes. For me, it meant his suffering was over. His job was done. And now it was time to go sit on the right hand of his Father.
Be exalted. So what was humiliating about him before that?
At crucifixion.
Ooh.
At crucifixion.
Indeed. Why was that?
Because they didn't believe that he was the Son of God.
And no, more than that. More than that. What... let me ask this question before you try to answer it, whoever that is. In what state was he on the cross? In other words, he had a coat, right? Mm-hmm. It cast lots for his covering, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he didn't have anything on the cross. That's humiliating.
Right, because they had stripped him of everything.
They stripped him of everything he had on his body as far as clothing was concerned. So that's humiliating. To die on the cross was a humiliating act anyway. You're going to stand on this cross, be nailed actually to a cross, be pierced in the side. You know,
yep. and for all the world at that time to see, that's humiliating.
Absolutely.
So his period of humiliation and his entrance into the state of exaltation was about to end. Okay? And mm-hmm. I'll read it so it'll sound right. The ascension marked the end of the period of Christ's humiliation mm-hmm. and his entrance into the state of exaltation, as was said, that he was now going to enter heaven and be at the right hand of his Father
yes.
on the throne. So even the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension involved some limitation, as, for example, with respect to showing his glory. Notice that his post-resurrection, pre-ascension appearances did not startle the disciples as far as the appearance of his resurrection body was concerned. What does that mean?
I don't know what they mean.
They're saying that his body, after he was crucified, did not yes. startle them. As far as his appearance, his resurrection body was concerned, they weren't startled by the way he looked before he ascended. So after he was resurrected, before he ascended, his appearance did not frighten or didn't shock the disciples as far as the appearance of his resurrection body was concerned. But the post-ascension appearance of Christ to John, described in Revelation 1, must have shown his glory much more vividly. So it didn't shock them, but in Revelation 1, it's going to be revealed that his glory was even more vivid than what it was when he was about to ascend into heaven. So we won't read Revelation 1. You can read that on your own if you dare. And then the ascension having taken place, Christ then was ready to begin other ministries in behalf of his own and of the world. So what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. When Christ was ready to be...
Well, to me, I think for one, I'm not sure, but for one, what meaning I'm getting out of it is that maybe when he was resurrected, and then he put on that new body and that newness, and when he began his new ministry, I mean, he's on the right hand of the Father in heaven now, and we're now down here being used by him and creating ministries.
Okay, it says Christ then was ready to begin other ministries. And so, yes, if he's out of this world,
right.
but he's within us, that means the Christ within us would have to do new ministries, right?
Right.
On behalf of his own and of the world. You're right.
Yeah, through the Holy
Spirit. So his body, mm-hmm, through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't mention that having come yet.
Right.
But he did tell them that if he went, the mm-hmm. Father would send back a comforter.
Right.
Okay, but he didn't went yet. He didn't go yet.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But once he goes, the Father's going to send back a comforter.
Amen. So,
amen. We're going to close it right here. It's about 10 minutes. To seven.
Well, that's the end. We start new chapter next week.
That's correct. You got it right. It's 8 minutes to eight. Chapter 47, the post-ascension ministries of Christ. So, ladies, if you're so inclined, read Revelation 1 so we can see a little bit more about what it looked like to John.
Wow.
All right? His glory was more vivid in Revelation 1. Can you do that?
Chapter 1? Is it chapter 1?
Revelation chapter 1. Mm-hmm, the whole chapter.
The whole chapter.
Okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. So, interesting. Mm-hmm. Evangelist, close us out, please.
Okay. Praise be to God. Precious and Heavenly Father, once again we come to thank you for such a beautiful lesson tonight, Lord God, for allowing us to learn more and more about you each week and how that you are relating to us in our hearts, minds, and souls about your life and the life that we would live when you come again to take us to heaven with you. And Lord God, we are just so grateful for our teacher, Lord God. We're grateful for everyone that showed up in the spirit and didn't think it was robbery to hear your word tonight, Lord God. We thank you for just opening up our minds and our hearts, our ears to hear and to perceive what thus says the Lord. We thank you for life. We thank you for another day, Lord God, for just being who you are and for waking us up this morning, clothing our right minds and divine in our bodies, Lord God, with everything that's going on around us, with all the wars and the murders and killings and rapings and everything, Lord God. We know in our hearts that you will be coming back soon. And Lord God, we are preparing to be ready for when you come back to receive us, Lord God. And we thank you for our families, our loved ones, our neighbors, Lord God. Strengthen us and encourage us to tell others about your love and your gifts of promises that we can have a better life through you, Lord God, an eternal life, Lord God. We thank you for forgiving us for our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God. We ask that you continue to guide us and in the way that you would have us to go, and let your will be done in our lives, Lord God. Not our will, but your will, Lord God. Touch everyone that needs a touch. Heal those who need healing, Lord God. Comfort those who need comforting, because with so many family members and loved ones passing on, and Lord God, we pray that when they pass on, they are passing on into glory, Lord God, that they act to be forgiven and forgive those that we have done wrong to in this life before the next life, Lord God. And just let your will always be our comfort, our peace, our love, and our joy. We thank you for this season, because this is your time when you were born, Lord God, for this same reason. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. And Lord God, we ask that you continue to put love, peace, and joy into each and everybody's heart, that we will love our fellow man and our brothers and sisters, those in Christ and those who are not, but one day will say, what must I do to be saved? And we thank you for that, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you so much.
Thank you for beautiful lesson.
To God be the glory.
Yeah.
Love you. Everybody, love you. Hugs,
love
blessings, kisses, and more love. Stay safe, okay?
Amen.
Good
Revelation 1.
Revelation 1.
You got it.
Shalom. Okay.
Love you. How peace and all belongs to you.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.